Anonymous audio cast by someone on the road to recovery while exploring spiritual paths and the mystery of life. Haven't really tackled too much the mystery of life, but we will get there. But today I'd kind of like to start off talking about meditation. I finally did meditate as I said I would, although it did take me a lot longer than I expected it would. It's the first time I've meditated since I've been back from rehab. Man, what a beautiful day it is today. It's gorgeous here. The wind is a strong breeze. It's clear and sunny. And it's probably in the 60s. So I hope wherever you are, it is beautiful. Whatever time it is, wherever you are on this planet, it is beautiful for you. And today was the perfect day to start my meditation. It's funny, I wonder if it was a crappy day, might I have not meditated? But I did. And it felt pretty good. But meditation is just starting out. It's a funny thing, because when I was in rehab, I could sit by a pond or I could sit by a stream. And it made it really easy to just relax into a cleared mind. And when you're in a metropolis area, it's not so easy. It's easier just to get into a more neurotic sort of state. It doesn't have to be super neurotic, but that sort of antsy, you know, city energy can really kind of get under your skin. And then on top of that, I am in a building, and there's noise outside. So, needless to say, it's when you come from meditating in nature and then trying to do it in the city, it's not really as enticing. But I did it. And, you know, it was frustrating, but in a good way. Because the whole point of early meditation is to sort of just learn how to relax your mind a little bit. You know, I'm not looking for enlightenment. I'm just looking to calm my mind and find some centeredness. But so I started with just focusing on the breathing. If a thought comes into my mind, just let it pass by. And basically every so many seconds a new thought kept coming into my mind, then it's like, okay, take a breath and then let the next thought go by. Okay, let it go. You know, watch it go by, sort of like in a stream passing by your brain. And then another one comes in and you're like, okay, take a breath. Just think about your breathing. And then another thought comes in. And then just before you get rid of that one, another one comes in on top of that one. And it's this ridiculous cycle. But at the same time, you know, I did feel a little bit better after doing it. But again, I know it's going to take some time for me to maybe not perfect, but to at least have an effective meditation session that can really help me on a more profound level. And it's all connected to the gut. So I've learned that just walking down the street, talking to people on a daily basis, I realized I was doing something with my gut for a really long time. Years. And I think it goes all the way back to high school. I don't remember exactly. But what I would do is I'd sort of hold my abdomen tighter, sort of pull it in. And, you know, and I think that probably came from a self-conscious place, you know, because nobody wants to see a gut. Well, a lot of people don't give a rat's butt if your gut is hanging out, and I don't have much of a gut anyway, but it's that self-consciousness that's that insecurity of who I am as a person. And I always sort of sucked my gut in just a little bit. And I think over the years I developed it to the point where I was holding it really tight. And I thought that when I was in a more confident place, that that's what I did, you know. You sort of put your shoulders back, stand up straight, and then I'd, you know, hold my gut tight. What I've realized is that by not relaxing my stomach, I was actually just tying up anxiety and tension in there, fear in there. And I mean, I really had no idea. I to me, it was just something that I did. I never put any thought into it until I, you know, until this recent process of recovery. And what I found when I was in rehab is that I didn't care really what other people thought. And because of that, I began to notice that I felt more relaxed in my gut, in my center. And it's really only been the past few days since I've been back in the city that I started that pulling in, that holding it tighter. And I started feeling a little off, you know, a little antsy. And I realized that that's a huge reason why I feel that way. It's such a simple thing. And I don't know, maybe if I'd gone to counseling or gone to a psychologist, maybe somebody would have picked up on that, or maybe somebody would have suggested that. But I kind of have a feeling that it's something that I had to figure out for myself. And again, I know it sounds like a silly thing, but it actually works. By just releasing that area and not holding it in. And if I have a t-shirt on and I have a little bit of a, you know, rounding out there, so what? Because it's my inner peace that's way more important. And because I was so concerned about, probably self-conscious because I knew my history, whether I knew the person or not, I knew my own history. And I needed to feel like I was confident. So I think it was a physical manifestation of my trying to put on a good face. And by putting on a good face for the world, a good presentation, then I could feel better about myself. And it's contrary to everything I believe, which is one of the craziest things about, well, I mean, an addict, but I guess anyone can go through that. The way the mind thinks, it's who you think you are, who you want to be, and then how you actually are, and the things that I'm doing that I don't even realize that I'm doing. I mean, it's taken me over 20 years to figure this out. That's astounding to me. It's such a simple thing. But it slows down my walking. I feel more relaxed. I breathe better into my diaphragm. And I don't feel self-conscious. And when I have a conversation with somebody, I don't get anxious. And I'm at the point where I'll even recognize it now, and I will just relax the gut if I feel it tensing up. And then all of a sudden, in the middle of a conversation, suddenly I feel comfortable again. I can talk freely. It's a lot easier to talk freely in front of a microphone here by yourself. But when I'm out there talking to other people, random people, I used to get anxiety, and I didn't understand why I got anxiety. I had no idea. Just talking to a stranger. Talking to people that I felt comfortable around, I'd still have that tension and that reserve. I couldn't just, you know, be myself 100%. I think that's something else that also haunts me still, is spending too much time thinking about how people see me. So when I'm speaking and I'm saying things, I'm wondering, how do I augment what I'm saying? How do I augment my inflection or my tone so that I sound the way I think I want to sound, but probably more so how I think other people want to hear me. And that's a recipe for disaster, especially for an addict, because insecurity will definitely take me back out again. And if you're not an addict, if you're, you know, grappled by insecurity, it could be, depending on how extreme it could be tormenting. But it could also just undermine your everyday happiness, trying to find a little bit of joy in life. And, I mean, how can you find moments of bliss throughout the day if you're self-conscious, if you're feeling insecure? My search for that little bit of bliss every day has improved. And this is a major part of that. And, you know, it sort of makes me think of massage therapy or Reiki healing, the laying on of hands, or acupuncture, where your body, how you're holding your body without even knowing it on an unconscious level, how just the act of relaxing and releasing the areas of tension can really free your mind. So it's not just a thing people say or post on social media with, you know, nice little quotes and pictures. I mean, that the body-mind connection is huge. And I was always thinking, okay, if I exercise enough, if I go out and work at the gym and work really hard, then I'm doing that for myself. But all that really does is, I think, and it's extremely healthy, but all that really does for me is it probably increases my serotonin levels and balances out my dopamine, so that I just generally feel better. I feel healthier. I have more natural energy, so I don't have to slug as much coffee as I normally do. That's an addiction I'm not quite ready to give up, that's for sure. But I don't think that hardcore working out really, for me, addresses an inner peace. I think that comes from somewhere else. It's good for your overall well-being, and it can be a stepping stone towards finding that inner peace, but it isn't the solution. But if I can do the exercising in tandem with physical awareness of where my mind is using my body as a reserve for the things that it does not want to deal with, if I'm doing things to relax that, to address that, then I really feel like I'm making progress. I started walking a little bit faster again, which is not good, and I think that, again, it's tied in with that. And all I have to do is stop myself and just go, okay, take a breath and slow it down. And as soon as I start walking slower again, I immediately feel better. I'm not allowing myself to get into that sort of rat race mentality that is so easily caught up. And, you know, sometimes I see people that are born and raised in the city and, you know, they're hypermanic, and then there's others that are born and raised in the city, and I see them walking so slowly down the street, and I used to think, what is wrong with you? This is the city. Come on. Move faster, man. I gotta cross the street. I gotta get to work. Well, whose fault is it that I'm rushing to work? It's my fault, because I blame it on the train. I blame it on transportation. It's not my fault. Well, yeah, but I know that, you know, life on life terms, I can't control what's going on in the outside world. So just stop putting things off. Stop procrastinating. Even if you don't want to go to work, allowing yourself the time and the space between where you want to be and the place that you're going whether you want, whether it's work and that you don't like or not, which is my case, allowing yourself that space and time, actually, when I get to that place that I may or may not want to be, either way, I feel better. If I don't give myself enough time and I'm rushing to get the train, then I'm upset that the train didn't leave on time or that the train's delayed. Now I'm anxious, and now I'm walking faster and faster. And then I'm taking that energy, and that energy is being brought right into work, and then I'm starting off work on a dysfunctional, with a dysfunctional energy, and I might be successful at bringing that down, but more likely it kind of stays with me, and that translates to all aspects of my life. Why do I have to work on so many what seems like just basic everyday things? Things that are perfectly normal for other people. Perfectly normal. But for me, it is... It's like, you know, the way my brain... Better yet, the way my mind has developed all these bad habits, by not addressing them and really working on them for all these years, it's like you have this whole entire building that you have to strip down and then rebuild back up again. And that's daunting. It's really daunting. But if I just do one thing at a time, like the thing with my gut, I thought about that the other day. I've been sober, I think, 50 days now. And that's just one of a multiple things that I've worked on, but that hasn't happened all in one day. And I'm not going to perfect each of those things. But by trying to be mindful and take a breath and think about the fact that I should be grateful that I'm here right now, allows me the calmness, just enough calmness to say, okay, I can't, I'm not perfect, I'm not going to make it on every little detail of my imperfections, I'm not going to make it through all those imperfections in, you know, 2 weeks or a month or whatever it might be. It's going to take time. And I'm already feeling better. I'm not on a pink cloud, but I do feel better. But I do notice that when on those days where I'm feeling more energized, my humility needs to be kept in check. I think I've mentioned this before, but it's extremely important. And that's why in the morning when I do my prayer slash meditation, intention and requesting of the universe all in one, in the morning, that's one of the things that I ask for, is to sort of just, okay, I turn myself over to a higher power. For some people, that's a group consciousness or just the intention of goodness or love. And for some people, it's God with a capital G. But I turn my will over, and by doing so, I feel more grounded and more humble. And then when I'm humble, my ego doesn't get in the way. It doesn't get me worked up. And then all those little defects of mine that I'm working on will begin to change. I'm kind of smiling right now because I'm in a really good place, and I'm happy to share that with you. And if you're in a really good place, how did you get there? I think there's some people out there that we see and we look at, and it appears that they were just born that way, that they were able to have a sort of serenity and acceptance of life, and they can be happy naturally. But most of us, I don't think that's the case. I think it's something that we work on. We have to augment our intentions and behaviors in order to get to that place. But as an addict, once you cross that line of addiction and you are no longer in control of your own faculties because you're dominated by something outside of yourself that has now taken control of your own mind, it is very difficult to work on those imperfections because you're constantly distracted. And those imperfections play into the self-destructive behavior. So the vicious cycle continues. But I feel like there's an unraveling happening right now. And how do I... Do other people notice it? I don't know. I don't think so. I think... Well, someone in a meeting recently had mentioned something to me that made me feel better. They seem to have noticed. But outside of a 12-step program, do people in the outside world, people I'm close with, notice? I don't know. And I don't want to know right now. Because I know I'm only making small changes. And I don't necessarily need that recognition because, granted, I do have a little bit of fear. And that fear is, in this case, that I hear too much praise of my own recovery, and that might inflate my ego, which might undermine the work that I'm doing. And it's just the little things that matter right now. All the little things. And it feels good. I'm going to keep this one short. And again, if you have any feedback at all, if you have any stories of your own that you'd like to share, anything you'd like me to read for you, I'd be happy to do that. Because even though I have my own personal journey here, it's with you. It's with other human beings who are just trying to figure out how to live. How to live well. So anyway, you can go to the website at spiritualbazaar.com, or you could go to the Instagram page, and the handle for that is spiritualbazaar as well. And yeah, send me an email or leave a comment. I'd love to hear what you have to say. That's it for episode 6. This is A. Let the mystery take you. And be well, everyone.